Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that in Canada, the same Canada under this far-left prime minister, the one before and the one now, the same Canada that's bowing down to the communist Chinese, allowing the fentanyl to flood across our northern border, that's allowed the illegal aliens to flood across our northern border, that same Canada, the same Canada that locked down their own people during COVID-19, the same Canada that wanted to defund peaceful truck driver protesters protesting the regime in Canada. The same Canada that wants to take away guns, not just wants to, they are taking away guns and gun rights from their own Canadian citizens. That same Canada is where the terrorist regime leaders in Tehran might flee to. This is insane. Look at what Canada is trying to bring in right across the border from us here in Montana and right across the border from the United States of America. Look what they've already brought in. Look at what they want to bring in. So last night I was just scrolling through some of the news, and I was talking with our friend George Blackard earlier this morning, and we were speculating on these secretive Chinese flights that are disappearing from the radar in Iran. And Brian Kilmeade and Fox and Friends earlier this morning, they were speculating, why are these Chinese flights going? You know, nobody else is able to fly over Iran right now, pretty much other than the Israelis. But the Chinese are logging these flight plans where they claim the flights are going to Luxembourg, but instead the flights go into Iran, they disappear from radar, and then they come back out of Iran. Are they bringing people in? Are they bringing weapons in? Or are they bringing people out? And so the speculation is, in part, Are some of these terrorist regime leaders trying to escape Tehran, given everything that's going on right now? And so I saw this via the Drudge Report. The Drudge Report has gone so far left-wing now that I just oftentimes don't even waste my time looking at it. But for some reason, last night, I thought, I'm going to go check out the Drudge Report and see what type of nonsense they're talking about right now. And this comes from the National Post. If Iran collapses, regime officials are likely to flee to Canada. Tristan Hopper reports for the National Post that Canada already has a reputation as a safe haven for high-ranking officials from Tehran. With the Islamic Republic of Iran seemingly on the edge of collapse, there's a good chance its surviving inner circle may attempt to flee to Canada. That's according to security analyst Casey Babb. And it follows a lengthy track record of Canada serving as a covert haven for Iranian regime officials. The Canada Border Services Agency reported that 20 Iranians who'd served in high-level positions with the Tehran government have already been found to be living in Canada. My goodness. Joe Biden and the Democrats in America allowed our country to be invaded. And then Canada wants to take guns away from their own people but bring the terrorist leaders in.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. House Speaker Mike Johnson was trying to talk to reporters about the House passing a bill to claw back $9.4 billion in spending from USAID and public broadcasting. And he was promptly heckled by dozens of House Democrats in the hall. They were headed across the Capitol to barge into the office of Senate Majority Leader John Thune. They wanted answers about why federal agents tossed Democratic California Senator Alex Padilla to the ground and handcuffed him. Did the federal agents go too far, I asked Johnson. Was this a bridge too far? Yes, it was, shouted an unidentified Democrat answering my question for Johnson, but the speaker immediately pivoted to what Padilla did. It was wildly inappropriate, said Johnson. You don't charge a sitting cabinet secretary. That's a lie, shouted another unidentified Democrat. A lie, yelled someone else. He was acting like a senator, charged New York Democrat Dan Goldman. Why don't you stand up for Congress, he shouted. So I posed a question to the speaker. Can you respond to these people heckling you? I'm not going to respond to that, replied Johnson. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Big sad news out of Yellowstone County. Devastating loss for our friends in Billings and Yellowstone County, and really the entire great state of Montana. For those of you who haven't heard the news across Montana yet, tragically, yesterday afternoon, Yellowstone County Commissioner John Oslin was killed in a plane crash south of Billings. I'll talk more about that story, plus tributes flowing in. And we'll share some of that with you here later this hour of Montana Talks. First, though, we've got the phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Yeah, we've got phone lines open for the full hour here, but obviously we've been talking a lot this week about the war between Israel and Iran, the war that started long before Donald J. Trump became the president of the United States. I mentioned how I was chatting with our friend George Blackard earlier this morning, and, you know, George is in the studio with me here and I noticed he picked up a piece of paper, because scattered throughout my studio here is just paper everywhere. News stories, Montana stories, national stories, news pieces, opinion pieces, tweets, all sorts of stuff, right? Because I'm just trying to, you know, be able to stay up with you guys here, because we get so many great phone calls that come in. That's why I feel like I got to be prepared for anything as much as possible. But I said, George, what caught your eye? What made you pick up that piece of paper over something else? This was the story that caught his eye. It's a townhall.com piece. Ilhan Omar forced to delete post on Juneteenth. So Ilhan Omar wrote a story, or she wrote a post on X about Juneteenth and ending slavery in America. And she was forced to delete the tweet, apparently. Apparently she felt like she needed to delete the tweet because everybody was telling her, the radical Islamic member of Congress from Minnesota, basically, hey, why don't you go end slavery in your home country of Somalia, because slavery is still taking place in Somalia today. And, you know, and of course, she has made it very clear she is anti-America. Just the other day, she was talking about how America has been turned into the worst country under President Trump. And so everybody's telling her, yeah, go back to Somalia and go end slavery there. But she got so embarrassed about her home country of Somalia still allowing slavery to take place in this day and age that she just straight up deleted the tweet. But that wasn't the worst thing that Ilhan Omar had done here in the past couple of days. Ilhan Omar claims no one in Iran has attacked Americans. Apparently, she did not delete this tweet yet. When it comes to Iran, Ilhan Omar said, quote, no one is attacking or has attacked Americans. It's time to stop dragging Americans into war and letting Israel once again get America involved in their chosen war. That's what this radical Islamic member of Congress, Ilhan Omar from Minnesota, had to say. Israeli Special Operations veteran Aaron Cohen said on this point, Ilhan Omar says that nobody in Iran has ever killed Americans. Oh, really?
Ilhan Omar saying that no one from Iran has ever attacked Americans isn't just false. It's very, very dangerous, because Iran has killed Americans for decades. Hundreds of U.S. troops have died from Iranian-made IEDs in Iraq. Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis, every major terror group with American blood on its hands came from Iran. They've trained militias who've attacked our embassies. They've helped build drones that killed three American soldiers in Jordan. Sean, the Islamic Republic, terrorism is their entire identity, and they exist to export terrorism and destabilize Big Satan, the West, after Israel. And now that Israel's hitting them directly, Their mask is starting to slip, Sean. So I think the real scandal isn't that Omar has said it. I think it's that people in Congress are echoing Iranian propaganda while U.S. troops are still deployed overseas under threat of Iran. She's not confused. She is compromised, Sean.
Let me ask
She's
you
on their
this
side.
Question.
She's on their side.
Yeah, that was Katie Pavlich there from townhall.com afterwards, and they're both exactly right. She's not confused. She's compromised. She's on their side. Let's go into the phone lines. What do you want to talk about? Sean in Anaconda, listening to 1370 KXTL. Sean, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Montana and Aaron. Thank you for taking my call. I'd just like to bring up the 3 million acres up for of public lands up for sale for the big, beautiful bill. So we need to keep an eye on that. We're a small planet getting smaller, and I don't think we should sell any public lands. And that's what I had to talk about. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for the call. Yeah, I saw the are you still there, Sean?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you saw this story. I actually had these in yesterday's show prep. I didn't get to it yet, so I'm glad you called in. I saw that the Cowboy State Daily does a great job down in Wyoming covering Wyoming news. Apparently, folks down in Wyoming are a little jealous of Montana right now because Montana is completely exempt from any so-called public land sales right now. But I don't think it's ever. I don't think it's going to happen. Period. Anyway, I think Congressman Zinke killed it in the House. I think Senator Daines and Senator Sheehy will kill it in the Senate too.
Aaron, I think Mr. Daines is up for re-election next year, and that's why he carved out Montana. And if they sell, where are all those people going to come? They're going to come up here and flood our public lands. So we just can't allow it.
Good point. If you lose access down there, will that mean more people try to invade here for the access? That's a really good point, Sean. All right, Sean, thanks for the call. Hold that thought. I'll come back to the story right after the break.
Did you? Morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so just real quick, because we got a number of great callers on the phone lines here. Yeah, with regard to this whole question about public lands being sold in the Senate version of the One Big Beautiful Bill, I believe it's some federal land down in Nevada in Utah that's included in the latest draft of the One Big Beautiful Bill. I don't think that's going to fly. I don't think it's going to make it through in the final package. Look, when it comes to selling public lands, Congressman Ryan Zinke, remember, this was included in an earlier version of the One Big Beautiful Bill on the House side as well, and Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke led the charge, killed that, got it pulled from the package. When it comes to selling public lands, Montana Senator Steve Daines and Senator Tim Sheehy are both against that as well, for similar reasons that Sean in Anaconda pointed out, having access, especially for hunting and fishing, et cetera. So I think it'll get pulled from this one as well. But it is interesting that Montana is exempt from public land sales in this budget bill. I saw that story at CowboyStateDaily.com earlier this week. Now, Range Magazine also has some interesting information. I think Paul in Bozeman shared that. Paul says, we're seeing a lot of propaganda being put out by the green decoy groups, like some of the left-wing organizations, the Wilderness Society, the Wildlife Federation, etc. Paul says this. He says the truth is that the land that they want to sell down there in Nevada and Utah isn't the type of land that we all enjoy for hunting and recreating, and only makes less than half of 1% of the total 650 million acres of public lands in the western states. And then, of course, he points to Range Magazine for some added coverage on that very topic. So thanks to Paul in Bozeman for that message. Yeah, I mentioned the tragic news. Yellowstone County Commissioner John Ostlin killed in a single-occupant plane crash yesterday. I'm going to talk more about our friend John Ostlin here later in the hour, but we got a couple callers on the phone lines right now. Grandpa Lou in Billings, thanks for your call. What did you want to share?
Man, Grandpa is completely heartbroken. John was one of my best friends, and he dedicated his whole life to God, family, and country, and Yellowstone County and Montana, and hug everybody you know, because you never know when it's going to be your last day. Thank you.
That's right. Thank you, Grandpa Lou. Yeah, John Austin, I wrote this when we were able to share the news publicly after family had been notified. That guy had a heart for agriculture. You know, in Yellowstone County, where everybody wants to pretend to be big city sometimes or think that the big city matters more than being the biggest small town in Montana, agriculture is so critical. And John Austin always knew that. He always had a heart for agriculture in Yellowstone County. And, man, the rosy cheeks and the constant smile that he had ready to greet anybody he met. That's the John Austin that we all knew and loved, and the eternal optimist for the United States of America as well. Earlier this morning, I caught up with our friend Russell Nimitz from the Western Ag Network to share more. I'll get to that here later this hour. Next up, let's go to Thomas in Billings. Thomas, thanks for your call.
Good morning, Aaron. John Austin passing away like he did is tragic, and I would never speak ill will about the man. I've known him for 37 years. When you're in politics, you do things that are not popular. John was a good man. I had a lot of respect for him as a human being. His political attributes were a little self-indulgent. But if you've ever run for office, you understand the politics, but there's going to be a huge vacuum with John being gone, because Yellowstone County is going to suffer a little bit because John was the he was the narrative.
Well, I would disagree with your self-indulgent comment. I think he was all about investing in other people. Yeah, maybe you didn't always agree with him. Maybe you didn't always see eye to eye with him. But I appreciate your positive remarks there as well, though. But he was all about investing in other folks. Becky Hillier worked in the news business, and you know she got a phone call from one of her former reporters at one of the TV stations, And before he moved back home to California, you know, Commissioner John Austin said, you got to get up in my airplane with me. You got to see this big sky country from the sky. And John took him up to show him around. That reporter was leaving the state. That reporter wasn't going to be able to do any favors for John Austin in Yellowstone County anymore when he was up for reelection or anything like that. He was leaving the state, going back home. The guy just cared for people, and he loved this country, and he wanted people to see it. And he wanted them to know how important agriculture was for this country. And I just think it's so symbolic that those grandstands are being rebuilt. And he got to see those grandstands going back up at the Metra because he wanted to make sure that agriculture was a part of the future of that operation. And I know I was so excited to see outdoor rodeo come back later this summer as well. All right, Thomas, thanks for the call. Let's see. Let's go. Let's switch tracks. I mentioned we've had a couple of the candidates that are running for state chair of the Montana Republican Party join us on this show, and we've had open invites out to all of the candidates running for chairman of the GOP as Don Kay steps down and is not running for reelection at their party convention here coming up, I think next weekend, not this weekend, but the one after that. Stacey Zinn, former head of the DEA here in Montana, ran for Congress in the Eastern Congressional District as well. Stacey, I was excited to hear you were throwing your name into the hat as well, and thanks for calling in this morning.
Well, thank you for having me. And, yes, I did raise my hand for this volunteer position, but I look forward to see what happens in the future. It's going to be a dogfight, to be very transparent, but it's going to be a fun dog fight.
Before we talk more about your candidacy, though, I know you got to know Yellowstone County Commissioner John Ostlund over the years as well, and so through your role as the head of the DEA and running for office and more.
Oh, absolutely! It was a shock when the news came out. It was shocking. It was like a punch in the gut. John, it was a cornerstone here with his, you know, being the head commissioner. And being, you know, just putting Yellowstone County first, it was sad to hear that the man went out doing the thing that he loves, and that was flying. With that being said, John and I didn't sometimes see eye to eye when it came to some issues, but it didn't matter. At the end of the day, when he would see me after the events of our disagreement, he'd come up and give me a big bear hug. And said, you know what? Love you anyway. Let's get the next one. And I always appreciated that of him. And he's going to be missed, and it's going to be hard to replace him.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, talk about why you wanted to throw your name in the hat for chairman of the Montana GOP. We've got critical midterm elections next year. The GOP has seen a lot of success under Don Kaye's tenure as chairman of the GOP. They've captured every statewide office. What's next?
Well, I want to continue that, Seth. Success, and I want to continue building our foundation here in the state of Montana. We have a red state, but we do have some gaps, some holes that we can do a better job. We need to communicate better. We need to support our local elections. As you see with the recent school board election in Yellowstone County, we could have done a better job of filling those gaps. We need to support, you know, the sheriffs that are running for office. We need to support city council. So I want to build a foundation back. Also, I want to concentrate on getting new blood into our central committees, younger generation, just getting people involved. Basically, the voters in the community, we need to make sure that their voice is being recognized. And so I want to bridge that gap. Like I said, Don Kaye has done a great job, and I want to continue that success.
What about, you know, what we just saw with the legislative session with a handful of Republicans siding with the Democrats? There's so many conservatives out there that are saying this is not what Montana voted for. Montanans voted to send the state in a more conservative direction, not to compromise towards the Democrat direction.
Well, and that was a very interesting scenario. I think it was pretty much one of the first times we saw that. So a lot of people were not prepared of how to handle that situation. We need to come up with a plan. But first of all, we need to figure out, how did this begin? Peel back the onion. What was the leading? Were they pushed? Were they decided they were going to jump ship? I'm an investigator, and I need to get all the facts. I wasn't there, so I don't want to armchair quarterback the situation. But I do believe that, again, effective communication, good leadership, we need to make sure that this doesn't happen the second go-around.
Yeah, I definitely want to give you some more time here because we snuck in a few phone calls, but I want to give all the candidates the same amount of time. And so, Stacey, if you can, stay with us through the break, and we'll come back to you for a few more minutes here as well. Yeah, Don Kaye is what really first got this race on our radar. I chatted with him a couple weeks ago, and I didn't expect him to jump in with commentary on the race for the next chairman of the Montana GOP, but he raised the concern that, because I asked, hey, could the wheels come off the GOP depending on what happens with the state party? And he particularly directed his remarks toward one candidate and said if that guy got elected as chairman, they wouldn't raise any money, and that could harm the GOP heading into the midterm elections. But so then that's what sparked a lot of these candidates to call in and join us on the show. So we'll go back to Stacey's in right after this.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordland.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins announced this week that USDA would be reestablishing a New World screwworm sterile fly facility at Moore Air Force Base in South Texas to protect the U.S. from the spread of the pest from Mexico. The facility was used in the 1960s to help eradicate a screwworm infestation that threatened the U.S. livestock industry. Buck Werbein is president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
We've had issues with getting the flies distributed in southern Mexico, and so there's been a change from, instead of bringing them from Panama, where they're creating 100 million of them a week, to more Air Force Base, staging them there, and then delivering them. And that will be a big help. It was a facility back in the 60s that helped create these things, to where we overwhelmed it, and we can do that again. We are grateful for her, for this action, for the action that she's taken. We're grateful that she is, in my view, listening, but more importantly than that, hearing us. And she, as I said, she understands the urgency of this.
The U.S. is also working with the Mexican government to assist them in getting a facility going where they could produce 60 to 100 million sterile flies a week. I'm Wayne Nordlund.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
Yeah, so for those of you who missed our couple of shows over the past few weeks here, yeah, it started, we had Don Kay, the outgoing chairman of the Montana Republican Party, join me on the show, and I asked him, I said, look, the Montana GOP is an incredible success. They've captured every statewide office now. You toppled John Tester, the former Democrat senator, last year, finally. But I asked him, I said, look, the Republicans did very well back 25 years ago in the 2000 elections, and then they slowly started to lose it all. And, you know, depending on which way the leadership elections go in the Montana GOP, you know, could the wheels come off? And I was surprised that he was as willing to jump into the conversation as he was, because he's a pretty diplomatic guy, right? But he then highlighted the four candidates running that he's aware of at the time, which was you've got Troy Miller, who's doing a great job with the Gallatin County Republicans as the finance chair there. Yeah, he talked about former conservative legislator Art Wittick out of the Gallatin Valley. We heard from Art last week or the week before. And then when it came to Tanner Smith, a former legislator out of the Flathead who ran against Governor Greg Gianforte in the primary last year, he basically said that the party may not raise any money if he were to be elected. And, of course, we got to hear Tanner and his response. Stacy Zinno, what's your thoughts on the significance of the leadership of the Montana Republican Party, and how would you compare yourself to the other candidates?
Well, Dits, you bring up some valid points. We are a red state, but sometimes we are not acting like a red state. You've seen these types of changes take place in different parts of the country, like Texas, Idaho, Wyoming, to a certain degree. And we need to keep our finger on the pulse. What does that mean? That means that we need to listen to our communities, we need to listen to our voters, but we also need to bring money into the state. Why do we need to bring money? Because elections are not free. Unfortunately, as I learned running in the Eastern District, you do need some money to be able to advance your message. If we as a state, as a Republican Party, is saying a lot of negative things about our leadership here, if we're criticizing openly about our governor or our legislators or, you know, our federal legislators, that information, that word gets spread nationally, and we can't have it. It gives Montana black eye. What we need to do is build from the inside out. We do not need to burn everything down and expect that we're going to be able to rebuild without any money or muscle. Because if that is the case, I mean, if we do burn it down, then we're going to go backwards. The individuals that have their checkbooks, they are closely watching this race because they want to be able to work with someone. They want someone in that chaired position that knows they're going to work with the hires and individuals in the lowers, and they're going to work with the community, and they're going to work with them. If you have someone that says, I have one agenda and one agenda only, I want to make, you know, I want to make a strong point and send a negative message out to everyone, that damages Montana.
Well, and next year, of course, the top of the ticket race is the reelection of Senator Steve Daines. He has already got the endorsement of President Donald J. Trump, and maintaining not only Senate control, but also, you know, reelecting Congressman Ryan Zinke and reelecting Congressman Troy Downing. I mean, President Trump's already weighed in in the Eastern District as well. And so it is critical to President Trump's agenda that folks stay united, especially at the federal level.
Well, Aaron, that's a very valid point. What we've seen here, we've seen some communications that I feel they're very negative about how they're going to damage this person or that. But that needs to stop. Our president needs to keep the House, needs to keep the Senate. We are on the brink of war. If we put individuals, if the Democrats take control of the House or the Senate, America is going to be in trouble. We have North Korea sitting back and watching. We have China taking the pulse of America to see which way this is going to go. Israel needs our support. So if we don't give him the tools, the assets, the House, the Senate, if we don't support our legislators and our senators in our state, then shame on us. Then we get what we deserve, and that's not a good thing.
Stacey Zinn, appreciate your time. Thanks so much for calling in this morning.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
All right, you too. And by the way, I think that the only candidate we haven't heard from yet with regard to this race in particular is Troy Miller. So, Troy, you're welcome to call in and join us on the show as well, or we can always schedule something next week. I know we did get a chance to catch up with him. He helped bring General Michael Flynn to Bozeman for their big Lincoln Reagan dinner here that took place just within the past month. And so I had fun catching up with him and General Flynn at the same time. All right. Well, now we're going to switch tracks. I mentioned earlier this morning, I caught up with our friend Russell Nimitz from the Western Ag Network. Let me share part of what Russell and I had to talk about in tribute to your friend and ours, John Oslin.
Yesterday afternoon, for those of you who haven't heard the very devastating news out of Yellowstone County Commissioner John Oslin killed in a plane crash south of Billings Thursday afternoon. Once family had been notified, Commissioner Mark Morris confirmed the news shortly after 5 p.m. He says Commissioner Oslin was the sole occupant of the plane that had crashed. But I tell you what, my phone just started blowing up. Shortly after that crash and word started to spread, I was getting numerous messages from civic leaders, business leaders, law enforcement leaders, other local conservatives and folks who just know and love Yellowstone County Commissioner John Oslin. And so I was just hearing from so many folks. But, you know, the thing about Yellowstone County Commissioner John Oslin, you guys have heard me say this many times on the show before. That guy loved agriculture, and he knew and always reminded everybody about the importance and the significance of agriculture when it comes to the largest town in Montana, Billings, and Yellowstone County. I'll tell you what, we got our friend Russell Nimitz on the phone lines right now. Russell, it's still just hard to believe the news that happened yesterday, but thanks for calling in and joining us here live this morning as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Aaron, and you just said it best. I mean, I think we're all just in shock right now following yesterday's devastating news. And I posted on our Facebook page, you know, last night, you know, the agricultural community truly is one big extended family. And right now, all of the Billings community, all of the Montana community, and really the whole community across the West, or anybody that knew and had any sort of dealings or conversations or were lucky enough to have a friendship with the late Commissioner John Oslin, just knows, I mean, how sad yesterday really, really was.
His wife, Christy, many folks would see her singing the beautiful national anthem at so many different events. I don't know if there was an ag event that John Oslin wasn't at, but what I love about John Oslin is, you know, it didn't matter where you were at, what event you were at, he always had those rosy cheeks, almost like Santa Claus style rosy cheeks, you know, and he was always smiling, and he was just such a classic Western figure in his cowboy hat, you know, that white cowboy hat. It was never clean because he was always doing something, you know, flying airplanes or doing something out on the land. But he just had that classic cowboy hat and those rosy cheeks and just a heart for agriculture, and his smile to greet everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's what I was thinking about last night, too. I was like, those rosy cheeks, that gray hat, and he always had a white suit on, right?
A crisp, and then I meant to add that. Yeah, a crisp, clean white shirt, yeah.
Yeah, yep, and along with, you know, starched jeans, you know, and the cowboy boots. I mean, but it wasn't just, you know, an act, or it just wasn't a costume that he was wearing because he was a politician or a public servant. I mean, that truly was John Ossland's, you know, his image, and that's what he stood by. I mean, one thing about it, you know, you get to visit with a lot of public servants and politicians, as do I in the news business, and I mean, there was no wavering with John Ossland. I mean, when he made a decision, he stood by it. His convictions were strong, and even if he didn't agree with you, he still was your friend at the end of the day, you know. And I think that's what everybody, you know, just reading all the different messages and comments, you know, that are out there on different posts and social media. I mean, it seems like everybody just loved John Ossland.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I'm seeing the tributes pour in from Flathead County commissioners and even some of our Democrat friends in Missoula also. Sharing tributes as well. Yeah, he was eventually became chair of the Montana Association of Counties, and of course, you know, very well respected nationally through the National Association of Counties as well. All right, well, hold it right there. More to follow right after the break, and then we've got the phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app.
Montana.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, real quick, before we jump right back into it, I know how many of you have had a long week, and now you're ready to have some fun on the weekend and enjoy the weekend in the outdoors of Montana or something like that, but then, man, the week was so long, you just don't have the energy. Well, I'll tell you what, if you need a little energy boost and you need some pain relief, you can get both thanks to a product built by a Big Fork, Montana Marine. The product is called Power Plus Pain Aid. You've got the energy and you get the pain-relieving vitamins, and they're natural pain-relieving vitamins as well. So it's drug-free pain relief. You get more gain, less pain, with Power Plus Pain Aid. Here's the other deal. You can have less pain on your wallet because you can get 15% off your order right now. Go to drinkpowerplus.com and then use the code FLINT15, FLINT15 at checkout to get 15% off your order. Speaking of the Flathead and the tributes pouring in for Yellowstone County Commissioner John Ossland, Sam in Kalispell, Sam sent us a message earlier this morning on the Montana Talks app. He says, I had the chance to meet Commissioner Ossland at the Rocky Mountain Association of Fairs a number of years ago and then ran into each other a couple of other times. What a great man who cared for the fair industry. He made a huge impact in Montana and will be greatly missed. Dan in Billings says this, John Ossland would start a conversation with you by saying, you're a great American. And I think a few of us have heard that over the years. I mentioned, you know, yesterday, as soon as the word started to spread of the tragic passing of Commissioner Ossland being killed in that plane crash yesterday afternoon, I heard from so many law enforcement leaders, civic leaders, business leaders. Next up on the phone lines, Charlie Loveridge, who's been just a great business and civic leader in the community for so many years as well.
Charlie, just tough news. I knew you considered John Oslin a mentor, as so many did. I mean, he would mentor my wife Jessica, and yeah. She called him Uncle John. I mean, he's part of the family.
John was just a dear friend, and like you said, a mentor to so many of us. And his steady hand, you know, I've been on the Metro Park board for a little while. His steady hand on our advisory board, his common sense was unmatched. What he brought to the table, Aaron, I can't even tell you what he brought to the table. It was just so amazing to see John work and to see his mind work. He had such an endless amount of love for our county. Just an incredible man. And I can't even tell you how heartbroken myself and my family are right now with the loss. We're praying for Christy and his kids, but praying for the county, because we lost a great man and a great American, as he would remind us all the time that we were great Americans. And every time he'd say it, I'd kind of perk up and take a lot of pride that he said that. But then I find out I'm not the only one he said it to. So yeah.
But he meant it. He meant it nonetheless. That's for sure. Yeah.
He was absolutely the GOAT. He's going to be so missed. And his leadership was just incredible. I can't talk enough about how great a man he was, but what a great mentor he was to me. And when you lose a mentor, I know for all of us, it's hard. It's super hard. He was doing what he loved. God bless him for that.
Yeah, and he didn't suffer. Earlier this morning, I talked with Commissioner Mark Morse, and of course those two are very close. Taking a step back for a second too, when I was talking with Russell Nimitz from the Western Ag Network. By the way, folks, that full audio is on our Montana Talks podcast. Russell talked more about being on the Metro Park Advisory Board. You were on that board. My wife was on that board, and so you worked closely with the commissioners there as well. But as Mark Morris was describing the news and sharing the news with us, what you couldn't hear was that he just had tears streaming down his face.
Yep.
You know, But he left his mark. That's a great point that Becky Hillier made as well. Longtime TV news anchor. She's now with the Nile Rodeo. I told her how glad I am that Commissioner Oslin got to see those rodeo grandstands getting put up last week, because when those had to be torn down, you know, for safety reasons, there were a lot of people. Yep. There were a lot of people that were worried that it may never come back. That outdoor rodeo may never come back. That 4-H might not ever be the same, and all these sorts of things. But with somebody like John Oslin that was there, he was going to make sure agriculture was still front and center, and he was going to make sure rodeo was still front and center.
Well, Aaron, I'm going to propose this on our board in our next meeting, that we name that rodeo arena after John Oslin. I'm going to propose that going forward, and I think that would be a wonderful tribute. That was his vision. That's the thing he wanted to get done. And I know there's going to be a lot of things out there to commemorate him and honor him, but I think that would just make sense that we name that after him, 100%. So I'm gonna propose that in our next meeting, and I can't imagine anyone saying no. And I think the John Oslin Rodeo Arena at the Metro Park is just the exact right thing to do.
He'll be a big presence there later this summer as outdoor rodeo comes back for the first time in quite some time. I know that's for sure. Yep. Becky and I were kind of talking about that off air a little bit as well. All right, Charlie Lovers, thanks for calling in, my friend. And, just want to, you know, just say that our hearts are out there for all of the Oslin family and all of his friends, really all across the state and nation through his work with the National Association of County Mentors. He's got over 50 years. He started working on the road crews in Yellowstone County before he became a commissioner. Glacier.